So our scripture reading for today comes from Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 9. I'll read from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 9, New Living Translation of the Bible. It reads as thus. A voice said, shout. I ask, what should I shout? Shout that the people are like the grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade beneath the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Speak from the thought, a lesson from grass. A lesson from grass. Have you all ever noticed that lawn people, they love their grass? Now listen, in just about every neighborhood of the folks in there, you got at least one, I call them grass people. But they love their lawns. Y'all got some in y'all neighborhood. I have them in my neighborhood. Let me be quick to say, I am not one of those people. Growing up, y'all, listen, my mother would tell my dad, listen, the grass needs to be cut. Hugo, the grass needs to be cut. My dad would wait 2 weeks and turn around to me and say, boy, go cut the grass. Now, I'm 8 or 9 years old. Listen, I'm 4.5 feet tall. The grass is 12 feet tall. I'm out here trying to cut the grass. I'm in the jungle. I'm going to meet a gorilla out here somewhere, y'all. I'm trying to get the grass cut. And I'd be saying to myself, now, Daddy, you knew Mama told you to cut the grass 2 weeks ago, and you're going to sit up and tell me to. I'm talking in my head, y'all. I'm not talking out loud. I wouldn't be here today if I was talking out loud that the grass needed to be cut. So I was not that kind of person. But there's some folk here today. I remember our dear departed friend, Dwight Gibbons. Amen. And that he was a lawn lover. He was a grass man. And I got a neighbor across the street. God bless his heart if he's listening in today, that he loves to take care of his lawn. Lawn people are in love with their grass, y'all. They got to make sure it's cut just right. You know, every blade is together. You know, I take care of mine, though, y'all. I do. I take care of mine. I'm blessed by God. I pay somebody to do it. God is good. Not my gifting, but they make sure every blade is just right. They make sure it is just right. They water it, y'all. They turn on the sprinkler systems. And those areas, y'all, that the sprinkler system doesn't hit, it's a little bit brown. And so they pull out the hose, y'all, when they water it. I think brown patches give the yard some character, y'all. It just give it character. That's all. They make sure it's got all the nutrients, all the fertilizer in it, all of the weed and feed and all of that stuff. And they're quick to tell you, too, listen, they looking at your grass all side-eyed in your lawn and saying, you know, it's that season. It's time to put some fertilizer down. It's time to, I'm thinking like, the sun is shining, but you throw in shade. But there are people that baby their grass. They coddle their lawns. They love their lawns. Isaiah compares Judah to grass. Really? Grass. That the book of Isaiah, first 39 chapters, y'all, it's a series of denunciations by God. These pronouncements to the nation of Israel, to Judah, and to the surrounding nations that, listen, unless you get it right, my judgment will be upon you. So if you're a Bible reader, Isaiah is a good book to read. Those first 39 chapters, they will put you in a headspin, though, because it talks about God's wrath, that God is a gracious God, that God is a God that wants to save. Again, God is a God of wrath. And if God's going to save you, God has to confront you with your sin. So in these first 39 chapters of Isaiah, he confronts the nation of Judah and Israel, the surrounding, with their sins. But what I love about the last 27 chapters of the book Isaiah, that he says to them, listen, my comfort will be upon you. He says, Isaiah, tell them, my comfort is with my people. Speak to them tenderly. Elsewhere, God says, I need to shout. I need to speak loudly. Cry loud and spare not. tell my people, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people what their sins are. Y'all, it would be so nice if the role of a prophet or a preacher or a pastor was to just preach pie in the sky. Jesus loves you. And he does. To preach peaches and cream and everything is all good. And God, he's just fuzzy wuzzy in love with you. And he is, though. But the fact is, we can't just preach pie in the sky. That we have to stand up and stand tall and tell people the truth of God's word. The role of a prophet was to foretell, to tell of some future event, something that would take place. And in our text for today, believe it or not, some 150 years would pass before the prophecy came true to Judah. And he was saying, Judah, one day God's going to get you because you're going to sin and you're going to keep on sinning. And you're going to go into Babylonian captivity for some 70 years when other false prophets were saying, now, don't worry about it. God's going to bring you out. God loves you. He's fuzzy, was he, God? He loves you. Then he spoke to Jeremiah and said, no, you're going to be in sin for a while. But the good news of the text today that we look at, the good news of Isaiah is that God is a God of wrath, but he is a God of love. That God prophesies, Isaiah prophesies and say, listen, you're going into Babylonian captivity, but don't worry about it. One day God's going to bring you out. I think that's good news for us today. They had not gone into captivity yet, but with the promise of captivity, God says, one day, I'm going to bring you out. Listen, I don't care what you're going through today or what you're about to go into. The good news for us today, that whatever we're smack dab in the middle of, God will bring us out. That's his promise. That's his word. So just a few other things about the book of Isaiah. And so if you look at it, look at verses 3-5, and it sounds real familiar. It sounds familiar because it's a prophetic word about John the Baptist. Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. That's a prophecy about the coming of John the Baptist, that he would prepare the way for the Messiah, the coming of Jesus Christ. It's a prophetic word about foretelling what would happen in the future. And I love what he says. He said, shout that the people are like the grass. Shout. Say, what am I going to shout? Shout what God tells you to shout. Yeah. That the people are like grass. Their beauty fades as quickly as the flowers in the field. That Isaiah is saying, listen, we wilter. We falter. We're fickle. We're weak. And we fail. But the good news of the text is that God's word stands forever. That God's promises stand forever. Whatever you're dealing with today, whatever you're going through, no matter how bad it is, know that God's promises stand forever. God will take care of you. God will take care of me. It's like David said in Psalm 30:5, that weeping may endure for a night, but how many believe that joy is coming in the morning? That's God's word. That's God's promise. Joy is coming. Just wait on it. Just wait on it. So he compares them to grass, to temporary grass. So see, when our temporary grass likeness collides with the goodness of God's eternal promises, there should be a whole lot of gladness. That we're weak and we may feel weary, that we're troubled. But the good news is that God's promises will come to pass. His blessings will come to pass. I thought about this parenthetically for a minute as we talk about grass. And for y'all that don't know, there are different types of grass out there. And some of us probably just don't even care. The grass is just grass. It's grass. But I thought about this for a minute. If we were characterized as grass, what type of grass do you think you would be? There are different types of grass that are out there. There is Bermuda grass. Well, I ain't got to that one yet. But Bermuda grass, y'all, is high maintenance. It needs a whole lot of sun. It needs to be in the sunlight. It needs to be in the spotlight. Bermuda grass is high maintenance, y'all. Don't look around. Look at me, y'all. There might be some high maintenance folk in here today. There's also tall fescue grass that is low maintenance and durable. Boy, that's the kind of church members we need. that they low maintenance and they're committed, y'all. Don't need a whole lot. This and going to the hospital and now, Pastor, you ain't got to come. I'm good. Just pray for me where you are. They're durable people, committed people, tall fescues, Christians, low maintenance and durable. How about this one, y'all? Annual ryegrass. It's cheap and temporary. Ladies, that sounds like some dates you've been on too, Eddie. That didn't last very long, did it? And your ryegrass, cheap and temporary, y'all. Kentucky bluegrass is durable and winter hardy. It can survive in the midst of the winter. How about zoysia? I can't hardly pronounce that one. It's heat and cold resistant. It can withstand heat or cold. And then, y'all, there's artificial turf. It looks good, but it's fake. Y'all don't know no folk like that. Y'all don't know no. Not in the house of God. You don't know no folk like that. And then there is St. Augustine. So if you live in San Antonio, you probably got one or the other. You got Bermuda or you got St. Augustine. And I love me some St. Augustine, y'all. I like it because it's a hardy grass. It's a plush grass. It's a beautiful grass. It needs a whole lot of water. But y'all know the thing about St. Augustine grass? That it runs. If you take St. Augustine and you plant it next to Bermuda, before long the Augustine will take over because it's going to run over and intertangle with and take over the Bermuda grass. But no matter the type of grass, that's just for talk. The fact of the matter is, in Isaiah speaks the truth that no matter the grass, all grass withers, that it fades just as the flower does. See, the difficulty with lawn keeping is, I don't care how much you water it. I don't care how much you baby it and take care of it and nurture it and put the weed and feed down and what is that? Iodine? Is that what we're putting in it now? Brother Andre, I'm looking at you. I'm talking to you. I think he's going to take Brother Dwight's place. Marsh, is he doing right? Is he taking care of it? He got it together? Okay, all right, good. But no matter how much you take care, this is my experience, it always ends up dying. Then even comes the season that we call winter, that it turns brown and all the hard work you put into it, all the fertilizer, all the water you put on it, it ends up dying. What Isaiah is really talking about in the text is the transitory state of humanity. Yeah. The people are here today and they're gone tomorrow. I can kind of sit and use my spiritual imagination. I think about Isaiah and him coming up with this word and God speaking to him through his spirit. And I can see Isaiah sitting and looking across the plains of Judah, feeling the hot winds of the desert blowing by and looking at the grass and noticing how it's turning brown and how the flowers are beginning to wilt. And he uses the expression, it's the hot breath of God that causes all of this. That it's the power of God that will cause the grass to wither and to die, the flowers to fade away. And whether you believe it or not, that we all exist under the breath, the ruah, the spirit of God. That God speaks the thing and it lives. God speaks the thing and it will die. That we all live under the power and the majesty of God Almighty. That God's word stands forever. Whatever God said, it will come to pass. That we're transitory. That we fade away. 1 Peter 1, 24 through 25, Peter had it right. As he speaks to a people that are under persecution by the Romans and by Jewish leaders, and they're scattered abroad throughout Jerusalem. He says what Isaiah says pointedly. People are like grass. They're like beautiful flowers that fade. They wilter and they fall. And to know that we're all so fragile, y'all, it says something to me as the people of God, the church of God, that we need each other. That sometimes you're going through a struggle. Sometimes you feel like you're weak and you're not going to make it. And sometimes I feel that way. And sometimes we just need to be there for each other. We need to cry with each other. We need to laugh with each other because we're all fragile. We're all transitory. We're all passing away, y'all. And I like what James says in James chapter 1, verses 10 through 11. He said, the rich boast that God has humbled them. Because those rich people that understand, they have what they have only because of God. But they understand, too, that their material possessions will pass away. That the rich will fade away. Listen, no matter your earthly glory, no matter your status in life, listen, it's all fading. It's all fleeting. It's all temporary. It's all passing. Oh, that chiseled body that you have. With the muscles and everything, y'all, it's fading. That curvaceous body that you have, listen, it's and that beautiful face, it's fading, y'all. That the material possessions that you have in the bank today, listen, it's a fading thing. All the material possessions that you have today, it's fading. And here's the point. If it does not fade, you will fade. And I will fade away. That the fact is, no matter the type of grass, that all grass, that it wilters, that all grass withers and the flowers will fade. But the good news for us today, beloved of God, is this. The good news for withering grass is that God's word stands forever. And I need us to get this today to understand what I'm really saying. That God's word stands forever, that Isaiah speaks of the eternality of God's word, that God's word is unchanging, it's immovable, it does not change. Let me make it real simple. God keeps his promises. Let that marinate for a minute. If you're going through struggles and strength, God keeps his promises for the children of God. Isaiah chapter 55, God puts it this way. Isaiah puts it this way. He says, listen, the rain and the snow comes down from heaven and it waters the earth. And it gives seed to the farmer and bread to those who are hungry. And he says, my word is just like that. He says, I send my word out, but it will not return to me void. But my word will go out. It will accomplish what I tell it to accomplish. That the word of God, y'all, it's like a bold, victorious soldier. That God speaks a thing and his word goes out and it returns to God victorious. I did what you told me to do, God. That God's word is just that powerful. And that's good news for us today. That the promises of God, they are yes and they are amen in Christ Jesus. God keeps his promises. Anybody glad about it today? Great promises when you really need them, to hang on to the truth of God's promises in his word. In days of we're living in uncertainty and chaos in this country, we need to hang on to the promises of God. Yeah. When your heart is filled with doubt and fears, you need to hang on to the promises of God. When you lose a loved one and your heart is faint and you don't know what to do, you need to hang on to the promises of God Almighty. Can I offer you just a few of God's promises from his word? That God gives us a promise of salvation. That God gives us a promise that his word will change our lives from the inside out. We have the promise of salvation. That we have the promise of renewal and strength. How do you know? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall walk and not faint. They shall run and not be weary. That we have the promise of renewal. We have the promise of peace. We have the promise of hope. We have the promise of joy. We have the promise that God will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I plead with you to hang on to the promises of God. Hang on to the word of God, that his promises are like water for the spirit. His promises are light in darkness. His promises like fertilizers of faith. Hang on to God's promises. Psalm 31 verse 19 says this. How great is the goodness you have stored up for those who fear you. God was saying through Isaiah to Judah, you're going to go through some changes. You've been disobedient, I got to spank you.
Yeah.
But I'm going to bring you out. And when you turn from your sins, when you repent, I have some blessings in store for you. I think so. The greatest thing that stands between us and God is our sins. But the good news of the word of God is if we repent, if we confess our faults, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't let your issues, don't let your stuff stand in the way of your blessings from God. Anybody notice here in San Antonio, y'all, for real though, for real, that you look around you and there's so many different storage units that they're building up? Is it just me? You know, you're looking in the community, what they going to build up there, man? Is it going to be a Chick-fil-A? Oh, it's a storage unit. Come on. They got a whole lot of apartments coming up too. These apartments sky high. Folk can't hardly afford to buy no houses these days. And they want to charge you $1,800, $1,900 for an apartment. The devil is a lie. We got to figure out something in this country, y'all. That's a whole other subject, though. It's a whole other subject. But y'all notice that all of these storage units are coming up. That's because people don't have enough room in their houses. And so they have to build for the overflow. Their storage is all about the overflow. I just believe this, that God has an overflow in his storage. And it's God's goodwill to bless those who belong to them, those who revere God, who love God. God has a blessing. He has an overflow for you and for me. Again, it's for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. All I'm saying in short, y'all, and I'm just about done. Y'all, we're preparing for a second service here in a few months, and so the pastor has to be a little bit more brief. Y'all say, hallelujah, amen. And so y'all walk with me. I'm gauging how this goes, and so I won't be before you much longer. But what I really want to remind you is simply this, that God is the master lawn keeper. That Isaiah says that Judah is grass. All the people are like grass. Well, if I'm going to be grass, let me be God's grass. I belong to God. You belong to God. We belong to God. That God is the grass and the Lord of the law, the grass keeper and the Lord of the law. That God loves us with an everlasting love. That we are like the grass that withers away, like the flowers that fade away. Can I be honest with y'all? That sometimes I feel like a crazy grass. And sometimes I got some lazy grass. That God speaks a thing and tells me to do a thing, but I don't want to do it the way God wants. Sometimes I'm just some crabby grass, y'all. That I'm just mean and upset with God and upset with folk about different things. Sometimes I'm a prideful grass. But one thing I can say is I am a needful grass, and I know how to run into the arms of God. I know how to run to God with what I need, because God will supply every one of my needs. God will give me light in my darkness. God will give me water for my soul. I know how to run to God as his grass. The grass that knows how to run into the arms of God. In the cold winter of life, you can run to God. In the summertime when the sun is shining, you can run to God. Again, in the cold winter night, in the darkness, you can run to God. I can run to God. God will preserve your going out and your coming in from this day forth and forevermore. God will preserve us and keep us. God will not fail us. His promises are true. Do you believe that? That the promises in the word of God, that God's word stands forever. And so on the real, the next time you step outside your house, the next time you step outside your apartment and you got a patch of grass somewhere, look down at it for a minute. Let it speak to you. I believe the grass will say, day will come, I'm going to wither. The flowers that you see around here, they're going to fail. And then stop for a minute and look up. I hear you, grass, but I know that the promise of God will last forever. And forever, and forever, and forever. Talk about a lesson from grass. And the church said, amen. Amen. Come on, can we give God praise in the house today? The truth, y'all, is that we are all like grass. That we're temporary. that life is fleeting, that it won't last always. But the good news, too, is that trouble won't last always. It won't. That's God's promise. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. Aren't you glad you're called according to the purpose of God Almighty? We'll face troubles and trials, but the word of God stands forever. But I want you to hear me and to hear me clearly today. That will fade away, but the fading is not final. That one day you and I will stand in the presence of God Almighty. That one day we will be judged for the things that we've done in this flesh. That there are one or two places you will go. You will go into eternity with God to live with him forever. But the other part is we don't like to hear you will spend eternity in hell separated from God. Yeah. It all depends on whose grass you are. They that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you are saved. Who am I talking to today? If you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to be. That God loves you with an everlasting love. Just as he loved Judah, just as he gave them an opportunity to repent. Think about that. A prophetic word went out. It took 150 years before they were taken into Babylonian captivity. 70 years before they came out. That's the grace of God. And I believe that the goodness and the grace of God is here right now. God is giving you an opportunity to receive him. But it's your choice. What will you do today? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for your word today. It's a word of redemption. It's a word of grace. It's a word of comfort. It's a word of confrontation. That God, you confront us with our sins. But you confront us, oh God, out of your love, that we would repent, that we would turn from our sins, that we would turn to you. God, I pray for a heart right now that it would be turned to you. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to a heart right now in this very moment. Let them sense and know the truth of your word, the truth of your power and your prayer, the truth about Jesus Christ, that he came that we might be saved, that he died. But he didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up with all power. Speak to a heart right now. Speak, oh God, to someone who is already saved, but they're not connected to a local fellowship somewhere where they can be fed your word, Lord God, that they can fellowship with other believers. We can pray with one another, and we can help to uphold one another. That you called us together to be a family, oh God. Speak to that heart right now, I pray in the name of Jesus. Speak to someone who's listening in to the broadcast right now. God, that they would connect in a relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we do pray. Amen. And so where does this all start? We admit that we are all sinners. We've sinned and we've fallen short of God's glory. We missed the target. But we believe that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. That we're willing to repent, to turn from our sins, and to turn to the Lord. It's a process. It's a process. We call it sanctification, that we grow in God. We confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, and that saves us, that settles it. And so if there's someone here today, we have ushers that are standing in the aisle. It's your heart's desire to connect with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. With your heart's desire, you say, I'm already saved, to connect with this fellowship. We have ushers that are standing in the aisle right now. They will usher you to room number one across the hallway. Won't you do that today in this moment? If you feel that tug at your heart, won't you get up from where you are, follow them to room number one. One here today. For those that are tuned in today, you may be wondering, well, how do I do that today? I'm not in the building. Well, you can do that as well. There is a new member form that you can fill out. It's online. I think we have the URL online right now. You can click on that, fill out that new member form. And I promise you on this coming week, one of our new member ministry advisors, they will get with you and we'll welcome you to Living Faith Community Church with open arms.
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.